Our scripture this morning comes from the first 11 chapters of Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, O comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make it straight in the desert, a highway to our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers. The flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers. The flower fades. But the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Perhaps you know the name Sarah von Breathnach, an author and quite gifted speaker. She tells the story of a business trip with her husband. They took to the beach. She and her daughter enjoyed the mornings while he attended workshops. And one afternoon, it was announced to all those who were a part of this experience that there would be elephant rides for the children in the hotel parking lot. Her daughter, Katie, delirious with excitement. Sarah told her, life is always full of wonderful surprises if we're open to them. Some mornings, you get up not knowing what will happen, and you get to ride an elephant that day. Well, when they got home from this trip, there was an invitation for Sarah to join a group of other journalists that were on a trip to Ireland. She was tired, Sarah was, of traveling, not really a spontaneous person, so she told them, I'll probably not go. Her husband overheard her, and he simply said to her, Sarah, so you're not going to ride the elephant? She decided to go. The story that Sandy has read to us from the prophet's own words is the very passage that John the Baptist quoted when he began his preaching or his evangelistic ministry in earnest. It's about preparing for something new that God is doing. And who else is the one to deliver that message but John the Baptist? You recite, remember all of the things that we learned in Sunday school, camel hair clothing, locusts for breakfast, the kind of guy that you wanted to bring home to mom and her feel absolutely comfortable with in this new relationship. John the Baptist was the son of a priest. And so the practice of how they were present with God and anticipated God's presence with them now is being done in a very new way. John the Baptist, the son of a priest, doing things in a new way, invited those who will to look for God, to expect God, but also to welcome God in a brand new way. It really is about waking up every day that God gives us, my friends, and knowing that there is an elephant ride waiting sometime during this day. Now, I have a feeling that you prepare for life's grand moments just like I do, but we'll get to that in a minute. We know how to do the preparation. If you and I were going to take a trip to either side of our state, we're going to make sure that we've got a map. Well, that gives my age away, so let me say a GPS or Siri on your side. I don't know about you, but mine doesn't understand me, corrects me all the time. But we have a map or a GPS. We also have gas in the tank, and we have an additional gathering of funds somehow in case that doesn't get us exactly where we wanted to be. We got snacks probably somewhere in the vehicle. And you wear appropriate and clean traveling clothes because you never know what might happen. When you and I engage in that kind of preparation, we're already giving thought for, we're prepared for where we are going even before we arrive there. And the same is true if you're hosting Christmas dinner or some kind of function at your home with family or friends. You've already begun to think about the menu. You will know that you've got enough seats for everybody who might arrive, and perhaps gifts will be exchanged. My guess is if you're like my Granny Georgie, you made sure everybody had two or three because you can't remember where the first two are hidden from last year. But the lesson here is that our mind is on the full complement of all the guests who might arrive. And all of the needs, not just of them, but of your time together, even before it begins to happen. John is not telling us a new story or offering a new invitation that we would be prepared for God's coming. He's telling us that it has to happen in a certain way. Preparing for God's coming has already been preached to us until prophets are blue in the face. We've been told and reminded, yet our world misses the holiness of God with us in the blink of an eye because we have no need to be prepared, we think. Preparing for God's coming in this way, I have preached about God creating a level playing field for all those who would. And you heard from the prophet's own mouth those last verses that really get our juices going. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. My friends, it's not about us having an easy way to God, with the high obstacles being brought low and the valleys that seem endless being filled in so that we can travel to where God is in an easy way. This preparation that God calls us to, even through John the Baptist, who knew Isaiah's truth very well, is about making it easy for God to get to us. Now, I know what Alistair's response would be. I know how bright he is. What do you mean? How easy for God to get to us? God knows everything. And God's everywhere. And God's all-powerful. Yes, but he respects our choices. He respects our choices. And now is the time, if all humanity will see the glory of God together, for us to leave room in our hearts and our lives, in our language and in our actions, for the one that you believe, that you say, is Emmanuel, God with us. What might that look like? Walter Brueggemann, whom I quoted last week, and I'm just going to warn you, I'm probably going to quote him every week until Jesus is born and we put him in that manger. Challenges us to remember that Advent is not the kind of preparation that involves the shopping, the parties, and the cards, but Advent instead is a preparation for the demands of newness that are exacted on us by what God is doing among us. That preparatory work should show us full well the signs that we are out of sync with God. It should be a no-brainer for each one of us to make our own list, for we bump up against this out of syncness every day that we live in this world, the divine virtues and will that we are comfortable with, justice and righteousness, mercy and compassion roll off our tongues as if we are the originator of the idea or the action. Yet there are those among us who still struggle with greed and entitlement, with complacency, even apathy, with regard to Emmanuel. And would Emmanuel recognize us anyway with the violence of language that we perpetrate through criticism and gossip, through cursing, all the while pretending that we are kind and of the one who came to save the world? We've mentioned compassionate hands this morning. We talked about it last week, and we welcomed this year's group of fellas for the first time this past Thursday. But I want you to know how in sync they are with the prophet's invitation to be prepared for what is new breaking out among us. I was not here to witness this, and so I share with you what happened this Thursday as some of our brothers and sisters made a home for those who have no home this week. On Friday, for that great breakfast that everybody gets up for, there were folks milling around, and it was overheard by some that a gentleman staying with us on Thursday did not have enough gas money to be able to get to work. It was not one of your staff members here at church, or even one of the staff that stays each Thursday, but one who has no home, who reached in his pocket and offered probably his last $3 to the one who needed gas money to get to work. What you and I must be painfully aware of this day is not what it means to feel at home. We've got that down. But what will be the impact in my life? What will be the impact in yours if we continue to live out of sync with God? Not only do you pay the price, not only do we pay the price for those choices, but our world is paying the price every day. That those who call themselves by the name of the Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, and we leave no room for him in our lives. I think the story that Sarah courageously tells about her own timidity is one that you and I should hear today as if John the Baptist were speaking to us. Every day there is the possibility of an elephant ride because God thought enough to make elephants. God is longing to use you not just to make your home pretty, or your family ready for whatever Christmas celebration feels like home for you. God longs to use you, my friends, to introduce the wonder and the redemption of our God to a world that needs him so. Would you prepare the way for Jesus, beginning even now? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.